This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Talking about there must be three conditions to be fulfilled before we confirm that the fast of somebody is nullified. So those conditions we said what? They are al-ilm, wa-dhikr, wa-l-ikhtiyar, knowledge and remembrance and freedom. If a person is not aware of the hukum of the fasting or the hukum of what he did, which breaks his fast, the fast is still intact. And also we have the dhikr, he must remember at the time he is breaking that fast that he is fasting. If he forgot, then the fast is still intact. And last one is ikhtiyar. Ikhtiyar means freedom. Yeah, if he doesn't have any option, doesn't have any choice, somebody forced him and pressure him, and he realizes that if he doesn't do what he asked him to do, he might lose his life. He is allowed to go and break his fast, and there is nothing wrong with that. To save his life, he can break his fast, and the fast is not gone. It's still intact. He can do what they ask him to do. Let's say if somebody put gun on his head and tell him, if you don't eat, I will kill you. And he knows that this person is serious. Yeah, he can eat whatever he asks him to eat to save his life. And the good thing about this is that Islamically, his fasting is still intact. He's still fasting. Although he's eating, but he's still fasting. So there are three things mentioned by the scholars to be the one that are breaking the fast of any one of us. Number one is eating. Number two, drinking. Number three is having sexual relationship with the spouse or any other thing that is related to any of these three, right? So I'm going to go through each and every one of them, inshallah, one after the other, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. So number one is al-aklu, eating. By consensus of the scholars, if a person eats in the day of Ramadan, his fast is gone. By consensus, if he eats in the day of Ramadan, his fast is gone. At night he can eat, but in the daytime, his fast is gone. I have a puzzle for you, but unfortunately this puzzle, if you don't know Arabic language, you don't enjoy it that much, and I don't know how to put it in any other language. If I put it in other languages, you will get it. Actually, just translating it will be the answer. Sure. In Arabic, they said, شَخْصٌ أَكَلَ نَهَارًا فِي رَمَضَانٍ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءُ وَلَا الْكَفَّارَةُ وَلَا التَّوْبَةُ شخص أكل نهارا في رمضان. You know, I will translate up to أكل, and then I leave the rest. A person who eat nahar means daytime, right? So when he says أكل نهارا في رمضان, this person, he ate in the daytime of Ramadan, and he doesn't need to make up that fast, and the fast is still intact, and no kafara on him, no qada, and no tawbah. Actually, if he follows the sunnah in eating also, he gets some reward. Who is that person? It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle. Who is that person? Is it looks fiqhi? No, he's a sahih. He is not a majnoon. It's really, really, really sahih. He's awake. He knows what he does. No, Ruba, I will not answer this question. You should answer questions, right? Not ask questions. Asking questions will destroy everything. But you can propose, although you will fail, but you will propose something. And whatever you say, I will ask you for justification. Anyway, let's save time today. I want to go early. She got it, but which food is that? Now you hear about that. They say that is a bird called Nahar. It's one of the birds. Linguistically, in Arabic, they call it Nahar. So the question says, Akala Naharan fi Ramadan. They do not say fi Nahari Ramadan. It says fi Ramadan, because if they said fi Nahari Ramadan, you will understand the answer very easily. But they said fi Ramadan in Ramadan. Ramadan includes night and date, right? So they said this is a person who ate Nahar. Nahar is the bird, right? In the night of Ramadan. In Ramadan, it says. So he ate it at night. So by consensus of all the scholars, if you eat, your fast is gone. This one, no doubt about this. But the question is, do you need to do kafara or not? The best opinion amongst opinions of the scholars against the Malikis and those who follow them, there is no kafara for somebody who eats intentionally in the day of Ramadan. He has to make up that day. He has to make fast another day after Ramadan, but he doesn't need to go for the kafara. I will talk about the kafara in the future. But he doesn't need to do the kafara. That's the best opinion, inshallah, because there is no any nas from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to support the opinion that says you have to go for the kafara. However, saying that no kafara, it doesn't mean the issue is simple, right? Actually, it might be worse. As one of our scholars mentioned, that if you have something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make kafara for, that means it is too bad. The issue of that thing is too bad. He says anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set up kafara for it, the issue of that thing is simple. You can settle it here. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't tell you the kafara of something he told you do not do, and you did, but there is no kafara, there is no way for you to fix it in this dunya, that means the issue of this thing is too bad. Because kafara is what? It's expiation, right? So kafara that you're doing is expiation. It's like the payment of what you did together with the istighfar. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will waive it from your account. You will not be responsible of it in the day of judgment when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if there is no kafara, the case is still there hanging. You're not sure what exactly will be your situation. So that's why it is really, really good for us to take note on this. Things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention any kafara, a person should be more careful, you know, with them than those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make kafara for them. Both of them you have to be very careful. But if there is anyone to be more careful, they're the things that have no kafara, because these are the things that will accumulate and destroy a person. So eating or drinking breaks the fast. Okay. Number two is drinking. Drinking anything breaks your fast. Drinking anything which externally come from outside to you breaks your fast. Since we're talking about drinking, how about swallowing your saliva? Thanks. Your saliva. Does that break your fast? We said taking anything, right? Drinking anything. Does that break your fast? The phlegm somebody swallowed, you know. Is it even possible for a person to live without it? I think this is part of our nature, right? Yeah, that's why they said even fruit, it's better to eat, but which one is, okay, I'm not a doctor for me to talk about this, but let me save my life. But they said it's better to eat fruit rather than drinking juice. And subhanAllah, there are some sickness when a person has them, the doctor will tell him, don't take juice, take fruit. The same juice, but take the raw one. Yeah, because you're going to mix with the saliva, right? That is the purpose, there is a wisdom behind that. That's why some doctors say you keep it in your mouth and then take it there. But go and ask them, inshallah, they explain more for you. But anyway, this is part of the system, this is part of our life. If a person doesn't have it, he goes to the hospital to check about his health. So imagine a life that you cannot swallow your saliva. It's going to be very tough. But the question is, since we say anything that you are taking might nullify your fast, right? So the saliva that somebody is taking inside, does it break his fast? The phlegm, the thick saliva, does it break the fast? The scholars divided them into three categories, right? Yeah, the one that is in the throat, deep down inside the mouth, you know, it fixes your throat and then you take it down. Yeah, usually you have to force yourself to bring it out, but usually a person just take it down, okay? And the one that comes inside the mouth, in the surface, next to the tongue, and the one that comes out, literally out. Yeah, the character, one of the characters, take it back. Doesn't want to lose, like the kids, you know? Somebody told them that if you cut yourself, you're losing your blood. And if your blood is low, you die. So whenever they cut themselves, they keep on taking their blood to avoid death. So you have a character who might take it. Otherwise, it is disgusting, right? But if, let's say, in case somebody does it break his fast? The scholar said, concerning the one that is here, by consensus of the scholars, if a person take it inside, it doesn't break the fast. The one that is in the throat, it doesn't break the fast. The one that comes out and somebody take it in, yeah, like what she said, it breaks the fast immediately. That person, by consensus, no doubt, his fast is gone. Although this is originally his saliva, but now it becomes external element. It's not part of him anymore, right? So when he takes it inside, it breaks his fast. It's like when you take something very tiny, very, very tiny, even if it is so harmful to you, it is poisonous. If you take it, you might lose your life. But you put it inside your mouth and let it go inside. Although it is so tiny, it breaks your fast. Whether it is useful or is not useful, it doesn't matter. Whatever passes the throat from your mouth, going inside, goes with the fast. Okay. So if a person is to take that saliva and put it inside, and akramakum Allah mustan, and to eat it, you know, to drink it, it breaks his fast by the consensus of the scholars. The last one is the one that is inside your mouth. Yeah, somebody was so thirsty, so he collected as much as he wished and then just take it. Yeah, people do that. That's why the scholars talk about that. Does that mean his fast is broken? According to the best opinion of the scholars, the fast is not gone. It's still there. Yeah, even if you collect and then take a lot, the fasting is still there because it is not eating food and it is not having the meaning of eating something. And also, even if you give it the meaning of eating, but this one is internal eating, it is inside you already. You do not take it and put it inside yourself after it has gone out. So this is concerning the saliva. Since we're talking about eating or drinking, how about the sa'ud? They put the tube to the nose of some people and they cannot eat by themselves. You know, when you go to the hospital, there are some who cannot use their mouth. So they put the tube inside the nose and they give them the food through that one. Does that break their fast? Yes, it does. That one goes away with the fast. Get it? It breaks the fast because it's food. How about hukna, the injection? And somebody take it. Does it break his fast? Injection, just like they took it. They inject you in every place in the body. Yeah. It breaks the fast, right? Okay. No, it doesn't. This answer of mine also is wrong. Yeah. So I'm wrong, you're also wrong. So it depends, right? Good. It depends on what?
What you take.
What you take, right? Okay, give me an example of what breaks and what doesn't break.
If you take high dose of glucose.
Okay, I don't know that one. Explain.
freedom to wake the person up, they put high dose of salt.
The one that they gave somebody last time. Allah guide them. And he's awake, that person, you know. They make him sick. Anyway, let me put it in another way, Rayan. Yeah. They say the one that is breaking the fast is the one that acts as a food supplement. Yeah, there are some injection you don't need to eat. They will keep on giving you, and you don't need, like the drip also. Sometimes you don't eat food. You have to wait until certain days, and then they will allow you to eat. But then you see a person surviving, living. Yeah, those one breaks the fast because they are food. They are considered food. Yeah, by all means, they are food also. But the number one, the one that goes through the blood for medication, yeah, that one doesn't break the fast. However, it is recommended to do it at night. Yeah, because there are some of our scholars who said it breaks the fast. But honestly speaking, the best opinion is the one that says if it is just a normal injection that goes through the blood, it is not standing for food. It's not food or any thing similar to this. It doesn't break the fast. Okay, what else? How about those people who are suffering from the asthma? They have the inhaler, right? The thing, right? Can they use it? Yes, right? Oh, I like this answer. Can, right? It's halal to use. But what happened to the fast? Does it break the fast? Yes or yes? No, right? Yeah. This one is also wrong. Yeah. So many wrongs, you know. This one also is wrong. Right? It depends, right? Yeah, it depends. Okay. So it depends on the type. The scholars categorize it. And of course, they consult the doctors to explain to them how did it work. So they said there are two types. The one that is like a pill or medicine, normal medicine that somebody takes or put in his nose, but it's a liquid thing that goes to the throat or whatever it is going. This one breaks the fast. No doubt about this. Yeah, it breaks the fast. But the one that is just a gas that goes in the form of air to the lungs and open it so that the person can breathe, this one doesn't break the fast. If somebody needs it and he uses it after needing, it doesn't break his fast. Yeah, but he should make sure that he needs, right? If he doesn't need, it's better to avoid any doubt. If he needs it, he has to do. If he doesn't do and he gets into trouble, he is killing himself. Islam is a very simple religion. Same goes to the people who have ulcers. You know, some of them, they have to eat every single hour, some of them every few minutes, you know. Those one is haram for them to fast, actually. No matter how much they want it, they just have to stay away from it. It is haram for them to fast. If they fast, they will be sinning. If they get into trouble, they will get sin. They have to listen to what the doctors are telling them. So I told you I love the answer given by the sisters that yes, the fast is, it's halal for them to break the fast, right? Yeah, so we can have the permissibility, but also there must be a price sometimes to pay, right? Yeah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him with a lot of things coming out of his head, the lies, right? So many during the Hajj time. You know, he has those small insects, you know, in his head, one of the Bedouins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it looks like these things are harming you. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to shave his hair. In Hajj, can you shave your hair? My question is, in Hajj, that's why you fail in the exams. You fix the question and then you answer the one you fix, you know. The question says, in Hajj, can you shave your hair? Yes, in Hajj. No, in Hajj. During the Hajj. Okay, let me just go very zahiri, right? If I'm making Hajj, I make the labbaik Allahumma hajjan, I'm the labbaik Allahumma labbaik, and then I take the thing, I shave my hair. Is it halal? No, it's not halal. So that person was making Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he came, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that, so he told him, shave your hair. If they harm you, just shave your hair, but then you have to pay the fidya. Yeah. So sometimes something might be halal for you to do it because of the need, but there has to be a price to pay, right? Okay, let's move forward. How about the eye drops? You have sickness in your eyes and you have the drops from the doctors and you put in your eyes. And I have another one, the nose. I have the ears also. Which one breaks the fast or which one break doesn't break?
If you keep the same food components.
It breaks. Even the nose also, I guess they don't have, but it's just medical thing. That's why they said, Khalid. That's why they said the nose and the ears broke the fast because they have direct connection to the throat or the lungs or whatever. But the eye one, no. And the scholar said if you put that, even if you see, you taste some bitterness in your throat, yeah, it doesn't break the fast. They say it's just a reaction. So Sheikh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah believes that putting the eyeliners doesn't break the fast against some other opinions. And since there is nothing from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to say otherwise, then that opinion is quite strong. So when somebody need to put something on his eyes because of the sickness, and he put bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, his fast is there. But these type of things a person should try. As long as there is a controversy among the scholars, if it is not necessary, a person should try and avoid it. But if he does, the fast, inshallah, is fine. So the kohl, somebody can use the kohl. Okay, how about the perfume? The watery one. The bukhur. I'm coming to the bukhur. That's the one that you put in your hand. Yeah. Is it okay for us to use it?
Yes,
it doesn't break the fast. Okay. How about the incense, the one that bakhur, the one that you put in the fire, it bring the smoke. If you put in the house, you know, after a moment when the smoke is already gone and then you come inside, that will be fine. Otherwise, many scholars said when you smell it, you inhale the smoke, it breaks the fast because it has jurm, it has a body. And for this reason also, the smoking cigarette, is that halal or haram or mubah or mustahab or wajib? Wallahi. he says it depends. I remember Ibn Uthaymeen says that if somebody he said smoking could be wajib. And they ask him when. He says, for instance, if you cannot have khushu in your prayer unless if you smoke cigarette. And it is wajib for him to have one stick. Like if you live in this life at this time of ours, you see a lot of strange things, you know, in fatwa. So smoking is haram. Haram, 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 haram. It should be qawlan wahidin. But since we are living in the life, in the time of ajaib, you will see all kinds of opinion. Those who said it is makruh, they were doing qiyas when they couldn't find any evidence, you know, and they couldn't find any big side effect, you know. But nowadays, it has been mentioned even by the enemies that it claims the life of thousands, if not millions of people die because of it. And in Islam, it is a well-known established legal maxim that says whatever endanger the life is strictly prohibited. So it is prohibited not by the qiyas, but by the text, by the nusus. Qaida says, la darara wa la idar, wa la darar. Ad-darar yuzal, the scholars mentioned. Whatever harms is haram for a person to take it. And smoking risk the life of humankind, and as such, it's haram for a person to do. So if a person smokes cigarette, what happened to his fast? Batil, yeah. That fasting is batil. Any fatwa that somebody is giving, as I said, nowadays, everything is possible. You hear all kinds of fatwas. But if somebody smokes in the day of Ramadan, his fast is batil. SubhanAllah, we break our fast with tamar, right? And you see some people right after the adhan, they break their fast with that smoke. You know? Ya Allah. Well, that's disease. Somebody to think in this way. Anyway, I called it childish. I was asking somebody, what do people enjoy in cigarettes? He said, I don't know, because I don't smoke. I said, I'm just asking because maybe they mentioned something, you know, those people who smoke, that they get something in it. Otherwise, it looks so childish. So funny, I'm telling you, when you see a big, matured person smoking. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them to think about their health and to follow the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when somebody smokes cigarette in the day, the time of Ramadan, his fast is gone. Okay. What about? What is that? This one is not something liquid that goes, right? Just that you breathe. This one doesn't break your fast, but isn't like that. If a person doesn't need it, I will advise not to use it in the daytime. But if he needs it, he can do it. Okay, how about al-qay, vomit? And somebody vomit. Does that break your fast? And don't be surprised. Some scholars said you should vomit from time to time. Rahman found it so strange. But Ibn Qayyim says it's really beneficial to vomit from time to time. Because usually, to make it simple for you to understand, sometimes some people, when they suffer, especially from food poisoning, trust me, they have the diarrhea, akramakumullah, they have all of this, but it gives them a bit of relief. But when they vomit, usually sometimes the sickness will be gone. So that shows you that, subhanAllah, it takes almost everything that is causing him problem in there. So that's why Ibn Qayyim says it takes the fadalat, things that are not supposed to be in the body, usually vomit takes them out. That's why you need to drink a lot of ORS, yeah, those things to retain back the water in your body. Anyway, we are not in the medical school here. So that's why Ibn Qayyim says it's good, because it helps you to get rid of those things that are supposed to stay in your body. But he says, but you have to be very careful, because some of the vomit kills. Yeah. SubhanAllah. We have seen some people, there is nothing in their stomach, but they still want, the body wants to bring anything. And there is nothing, you know. A person will feel that he's going, his intestine, you know, they're going to come out. Because there is nothing, you know. So that's why Ibn Qayyim says you have to be very careful. So the best is just stay away from it, because you don't know where does it end. But there are some situations where a person needs to do it. Let's say you're fasting in Ramadan and you get into trouble and you need to vomit. And then you force yourself to vomit. You vomited. What happened to your fast? Gone or still there? Yeah, you force yourself to vomit, the fasting is gone. But let's say you're overtaken by the sickness, the vomit just come. We're telling you, please, this is Ramadan, try maintain. You said, I can't. And then the thing just came out by itself. this is natural, you know, it comes by itself. Does that break your fast? No. Because the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, if you are overtaken by the vomit, you couldn't control it, your fast is still intact. But if you do it intentionally, out of choice, then your fast is gone. Can you use siwak? The toothpaste. Can I use that one? All of them. The halal one. No, the paste itself. The taste also. It has a taste, it has a flavor. They enjoy the taste. The one that has it, a very strong taste. If you use it, you come to us, you talk, we will think that you put some perfume.
It depends.
So I should ask the person, or I should ask the paste, the toothpaste. Okay, this one, as long as it doesn't pass and cross your mouth, the fast is still there, just like the siwak. But some scholars said it's good to avoid it and stick to the siwak. And that's a very good approach. Use the siwak in the daytime, because it's sunnah to use the siwak all the time. Use it in the daytime, but don't swallow. If you swallow it, it breaks your fast. Okay, use it in the daytime. At night, then you use the toothpaste. Or after you take your suhoor, use the toothpaste. But in the daytime when you need it, you can use the siwak. So using the siwak is sunnah. When is the sunnah? All time or before dhuhr? I'm asking this class, your belief. Before dhuhr or even after dhuhr? Until dhuhr. It's a Khalid beliefs. The majority of the class, do you believe in? No, right? Just believe, right? Okay, so the correct opinion is the one that says you can do it even after dhuhr time, because there is no restriction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the evidence mentioned by them is very, very weak, because they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khuluf aw khalufi fami sa'imi atyab indallahi min rihi al-misk." The bad smell of the mouth of the person who is fasting is more pleasant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the fragrance of al-misk. But then the scholar said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say he enjoys it. Ibn Qayyim has a very nice explanation in his book, Sharh Wasiyati Ibn Zakariya. He says it's a very wrong understanding. And also, in fact, in certain circumstances, the smell, because they say after dhuhr, usually the mouth will start smelling. If you are to make siwak, you will remove it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, atyab indallah. So you're removing something that is pleasant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said it's not good, you should leave it. You get an idea. But Ibn Qayyim says, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said this. He recommended siwak to be practiced at any moment. And also he said, in some circumstances, the smell is not coming from the mouth. Of course, yes, there are a lot which is coming from the mouth. He said, but there is another one that is coming from the stomach. He says, لفراق المائدة. The ma'ida, when it is empty, usually it produces the smell like that. So if you're not going to put the siwak inside your stomach to clean it, you're just doing it on the teeth, the smells will still come even after zuhr. And this is true. Yeah. Because sometimes you do the siwak, if you just talk a little bit, it's still come. You get an idea. So that's why it is sunnah for a person to do the siwak at all time. Every single moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hibbu siwak. He goes inside the house, siwak. He wants he wakes up from the sleep, siwak. He makes wudu, siwak. Goes to pray, siwak. Even one of the last things he did was to use the siwak before he leaves this life. Okay, but do not swallow the siwak. Okay, did I miss something in eating or drinking? After? The mu'adhin. When somebody eats or drink, when the mu'adhin, okay, I remember also something, thank you very much. When the mu'adhin started making the adhan, you get it? The mu'adhin said, Allahu Akbar, and then he started eating. Quickly eat, 1, 2, 3, yeah, 30 seconds, and then stop. What happened to his fast? It depends, not Adhan, Fajr. You already know, Allah, this Zahiri guy, you know. Fajr time, khalas, Zahiri, okay. So, it depends on the Adhan itself. If the Mu'adhin is making the Adhan after seeing the Fajr by himself, and that person ate, and knowing that the Mu'adhin saw the Fajr, the real Fajr, then his fast is gone. Okay, unless if it is just a drink that is held by him, you know, he's about to drink and then the Mu'adhin started making the Adhan. In this case, the Prophet said he should complete his drink. But in the normal circumstances, when the Mu'adhin starts making the Adhan, a Muslim is supposed to stop eating and drinking. However, if he is focusing on the calendar, which turns to be from time to time, the people make a wrong calculation. If a person quickly finishes his food, inshallah, I hope his fast is not gone. But I will advise not to do. unless if a person is really in trouble, let's say you do not have a good breakfast and you slept, and now the muezzin is making adhan and you woke up late. They just started making the adhan. So if the muezzin is not basing the adhan on the calendar, then you cannot eat. But if he is focusing on the calendar and you just ate before he finishes the adhan, inshallah, should be fine. Is holding? He shouldn't go and bring it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith say, "Wa fi yadi ahadukum sharabuhu." One of you is holding his drink. Yeah, that means it's prepared next to you. You just take it and drink it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Just complete your drink." Other than that, you shouldn't go and prepare the drink and come back. Somebody who is making wudu. Yeah, you have to. No, there are some scholars, actually half of them said the fast is gone.
By mistake.
And the other group of scholars said no, the fast is not gone. You're still fasting. The one who said the fast is gone, they said because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Laqit ibn Sabira, "Asbigh al-wudu'a wa khallil bayn al-asabi." وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ وَالْمَضْمَضَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already warned him. He said, if you're fasting, be very careful, you know. He said, this guy is not careful. And the water get inside, therefore he has to make up another day. The other said, no. But this understanding is overruled by the majmu' al-nusus that says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rafa'an Ummati Muhammad al-Khata' wa al-Nisyan. This person was not intentionally doing it. He did it out of mistake, by mistake. He did not do it intentionally, and as such, he's fasting. And he might, because sometimes you might try to be careful. Yeah, you Allah, sometimes you are really, really, really cautious, but unfortunately, something happened, the water goes inside. Yeah. I don't know where it goes, but you feel pain in your head sometimes. So that's why another opinion says, no, the fast is still intact. And that's the closest opinion, insha'Allah ta'ala. But if somebody wanted to be on the safe side, because they also have something from that hadith, because they said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already warned you. So that's why being careful is good. Some of the Shia, actually, they don't wash their mouth or nose when they're fasting. I remember I was teaching this one of the Shi'i brothers. I think it was a sister. She was saying, what do you mean? This is Ramadan and you rinse your mouth and nose? I was like, what do you mean? You also. They said, no. She said, no, we are told that you cannot. We don't do that. So when they are fasting, they make wudu, they don't rinse their mouth, they don't rinse their nose. Lakum dinukum waliya deen. Okay, so this is the hukum, inshallah. A person should be very careful when he is doing. So let's move to another dimension. And in this dimension, we have al-istimna. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scholars in the last part of the meaning of fasting, they said, staying away from the sexual relationship. If somebody has a relationship with his spouse, having a relationship with the opposite gender, whether in a marriage or not in a marriage, break the fast bil ijma. If it is intentional and knowing that a person is fasting, bil ijma, the fasting is gone. And this is the one that a person has to do kafara bil ijma. What is a kafara? To free a slave. If freeing a slave, no, because that man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he, from far distance, he was saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, halakt wa ahlakt. Ya Rasulullah, I am in trouble and I put somebody in trouble. Kept on saying, halakt wa ahlakt, halakt wa ahlakt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Maladi ahlakak? Qala waqa'tu ala mra'ati fi nahari Ramadan. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I had relationship with my spouse in the day of Ramadan. Allah. Manhaj Nabawi Rabbani in da'wah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do anything. Because now he regretted. That's why he came looking for a solution. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, straightforward, هَلْ تَسْتَطِيُوا أَن تُعْتَقَ رَقَبَةً؟ قَالَ لَا. Can you free a slave? He said, no. And the scholar said, you can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give him long khutbah in the first place. What's wrong with you? What happened to you, Aql? Can't you be patient? This is only Ramadan, you know, 1 month, you know. But he told him, can you free a slave? He said, no, ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, okay, can you fast for 60 days? He said, ya Rasulullah, even 30 also I couldn't. And now you're making it 60. He said, no, ya Rasulullah, I can't. Very honest person. Zahiri, ala aqidat fulan. So he said, cannot, ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, هَلْ تَسْتَطِيُوا أَنْ تُطْعِمَ سِتِينَ مِسْكِينَ? Can you feed 60 needy persons? He said, no. No option given to him, and he came looking for a solution. But he rejected all the solutions given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left him. Yeah, because what do you expect from him? He can't. He said, I cannot. What do you expect from him? To go and steal? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left him. He also left the case. He kept quiet and he merged with the community, kept on enjoying his life with the jalsa. Then after a moment, somebody brought tamar in a bag. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, where is the person who was in trouble looking for a solution? He said, ha anada ya Rasulullah. He said, I'm here, ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alhamdulillah, we have a solution here. Take this tamar and go and give it to the masakeen. That's your kafara. He said, ya Rasulullah, wait a minute. You mean I give this tamar to somebody who is poorer than me? Somebody who is poorer than me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. He said, وَالَّذِي بَعْثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ. He said, مَا بَيْنَ لَابَّتَيْهَا أَهْلُ بَيْتٍ أَفْقَرُ مِنَّا. He said, ya Rasulullah, I saw by the one who sent you with the truth. There is no house between the two sides. I mean, from the beginning of Medina until the end. He's talking about the Labbat al-Madina. This is the Harra Shaqiyya and Harra al-Gharbiyya. That's the small rock. They're a bit sharp and dark in color. Medina is protected from that angle, in the Sharq and the Gharb. That's why the enemies, when they attacked Medina, they couldn't come from here or from there, because it's not easy for the horse to walk on at that place. So he said, ya Rasulullah, when he says, ma bayna la bateha, he's just trying to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, I don't think you can find a house in Medina that is more destitute than us. What does he mean? He wants to eat the tamar also, you know. So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed. He said, okay, just take the tamar and go and eat it with your family, you know. That's why the scholars argue here also. Because this man, when he said he can't, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. He did not say it is loan on your shoulder. That's why some of them said it remains as a loan, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the thing came, he gave it to him and asked him to go and give it to somebody. That means when he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can't, the hukum is not waived. It's still there. Otherwise, what is the point? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call him back and tell him go and do it? But other scholars said, but our opinion is stronger than yours, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go and eat the tamar. He still did not do the kafara. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, it is loan on your shoulder. But honestly speaking, the first opinion is stronger than the second one. That it is loan on his shoulder. Whenever he can have ability to do it, then he has to do the kafara when he does the jima. This is the biggest, you know, a nullifier that we have in fasting for somebody to eat. For somebody to have relationship with a spouse. Because it's not easy to forget. Eating and drinking, you might forget, but that one is not easy. This is Ramadan, you know. So that's why if somebody does it intentionally, he knows that this is Ramadan, he does it intentionally, the sin is so big. He has to go for the kafara and he has to make up another day after Ramadan. But eating and drinking is not like that. Even if a person does it intentionally, but we don't know his situation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, talking about this, how about somebody who does the istimna? You know the istimna, right? Masturbation. Is it even halal in Islam to do it? And subhanAllah, this is the disease that the Ummah is affected by. In a way, one of the younger ones, you know, long ago when I was talking about this issue, he told me, wait a minute, is there any young person who doesn't do this? He cannot imagine that there is somebody who is not going for this. And this is tragedy, you know, to have this. Because what is he trying to say? Like the circles he knows, he'd never come across somebody who doesn't practice this. And this is wrong. There is a cause for this because we too much engage in inappropriate things, or we do things which are not supposed to be done, especially when a person is sleeping. That's why the younger kids, when you see them lying down on their stomach, you should train them not to do that. Because that might be the beginning of the problem. And anything that is related to that. But don't you ever do something that will catch their attention. Because sometimes also as a parent, we do the mistakes. We tell them about the thing. They don't know the thing, you know. They're just doing, you know, and observing their life. But then I come and tell him, no, stop lying on your stomach because it might end up you doing this. He'll be asking, what is this then? And trust me, kids are always doing things based on experiment. They like to do experiment. Yeah, that will be the beginning. Once they do it and they have that simple enjoyment, which a person is going to pay the big price, Allah, somebody who destroyed his life with this, in the future, he's going to pay the big price. Ibn Uthaymeen has a very nice statement on this when he warned people from this. And we need to use the same approach also when we talk about this matter. Because you have many people who are complaining after they married that they have evil eye or somebody did magic on them. Why? Because they cannot do what they're supposed to be doing. Why? They think somebody did magic on them. But there is no magic. They were the one who did magic on themselves before. Right? Because that energy, as Ibn Uthaymeen says, you need it after you go to the serious life when you marry. If you exhaust it, it will be taken from you. And then when you need it, it will not come and you get into trouble. Apart from the disease that might affect you, you know, any health issues also is involved in this matter. And from both. Yeah, from both. So it's strictly prohibited. A person shouldn't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Those people who are preserving their private part except with their spouses, أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended and commanded us to marry. If masturbation is one of the way out, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you to go for that. Do you get idea? It is not a way out completely. That's why a person should be very careful. Live in a place whereby your desire would not be provoked. But somebody who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and went and do it by himself, does that break his fast? Yes. Because you have three types of water that comes out of a person, the madhi and the mani and the wadi. Wadi usually comes together with the urine. This one doesn't break the fast. And mani, it is the source of the child. Either from the money or from the sexual relationship or somebody who has a very great excitement and desire that causes it to come out. And you have the madhi, which is the initial desire that a person is having when he looks at the opposite agenda. The second one, the money, this one breaks the fast when it comes out. When it comes out through the sexual relationship, whether it's a halal way or haram way, it breaks the fast and a person has to do the kafara. But when it comes out by itself, and a person enjoy that coming out, because there is a mani that comes out without enjoyment. That's why they say the one that necessitates ghusl for the janaba is the one that comes and fulfill two conditions. Number one, ejaculates. Number two, it comes with the enjoyment. Because sometimes when somebody is beaten so much, he might have this discharge of mani, or somebody who is affected by so much cold. Scholars mention all of these circumstances where money can come out of a person. This one doesn't necessitate ghusl. Although you're sure that this is money, but you just wash it, that does it. And it doesn't break the fast also. But the one that breaks the fast is the one that comes with ladha, with enjoyment. At least somebody just look at his wife, and then until the time he has the passage of the money, the fast is gone. When the money comes out, it breaks the fast. Is that clear? When the money comes out, it breaks the fast. But there is no kafara. Okay, the one that may necessitate the kafara is when the sexual relationship comes. Hamid, Hamad, just 1 second. Let me finish. I will just 1 second, Hamad. So just a little. I just want to finish this and run away. Okay. So this one, if it comes by its, I mean, if somebody brought it, you know, either through the masturbation or just looking at something until time he discharged, the fast is gone, but no kafara in it. But he has, if he has sexual relationship with the spouse, then the fast is gone. How about the wife? She's also lost her fast if she obeyed him. But let's say he knows that this person is wicked. He's going to get angry if she doesn't listen. And she listened to him. They had the relationship. What happened to her fast? She is afraid of his anger. That's why she broke the fast. Is it gone? Yes, it's gone. But let's say the man came with knife. He became Majnoon. Wash, you know. He told her, either this or your life. She said, no problem. Tada masala. You know. She gave him what he wanted. Because she knows that this guy is crazy. He will do. You know, he doesn't care. How about her fast? Still there. The fast is not gone. Yeah, because now she doesn't have control over herself. She did it in trying to save her life. The next one is the mani, the madhi. Madhi, according to the best opinion of the scholars, doesn't break the fast of somebody. When it comes out, it doesn't break the fast. But it reduces the value of the fasting. It reduces the value. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Hadith al-Qudsi, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَدْعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He stays away from his food and drink and his sexual desire for my sake. So if a person, you know, did something that causes madhi to come out of him, the fast is still intact, but the value will reduce. Is that clear? The value will reduce. Yeah, so this is the thing. So if a person has this discharge of the madhi, is he supposed to stay away from his family? No, he just live a normal life, but try his best not to do something that might bring a bigger a problem to his life. That's why, is it halal for somebody to hug and embrace his wife when he is fasting? Think first before you say yes. Is it halal or haram? Ryan, you sure? Halal? Are you sure, Hamad? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something. Khalid, nobody will come for you. I will never send somebody to look for fatwa from you. Because I know after that, you're going to have hundreds of them also coming with the second fatwa, you know? So, embracing the spouse, hugging the wife, or kissing the wife, both are halal, as you said. Halal, halal. But disliked at the same time in the case of some people. It's okay with some to go and do it. Yeah, an old man, when he tells you, can I kiss my wife when I'm fasting? What should be your fatwa? Yes. Because why is he kissing his wife? This is for mercy. A young person who recently married, and he tells you, Khalid, no, not you. He would tell him, yes, go ahead. Abdurrahman, and the man tells you, can I kiss my wife? What will be the fatwa? No. Tell him, wait, Maghrib is almost there, you know? Why? Although it's halal, but you should tell him, no, don't. Because trust me, if you are not careful, he's going to come back the second day. Unfortunately, we went beyond the limit. Yeah. Then he's asking for the next step now. What can I do? Because I did what I shouldn't do. Right? That's the reason why they said one of the companions gave two fatwas. An old man, he told him yes. And the younger one, he told him no. Aisha radiallahu anha told us, she said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to kiss his wives when he is fasting. That means it is halal. But then she said, you should know, kana amlakakum li irbihi. But he controls his desire more than you. Yeah, she just wanted the ummah to be very careful, because these are areas, when you go through them, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, you might end up going in, beyond the limit. So alhamdulillah, it's all about a few hours. A person should be patient. Yeah, but if somebody hug his wife and money comes out of him, it doesn't break his fast. But if he hug his wife and madhi come out of him, it doesn't break his fast. But if he hug his wife and money comes out of him, the fast is gone. But there is no kafara in the case because he doesn't go for the sexual relationship. So these are the things to be said concerning matter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. We have some of the matters to discuss concerning the nullifiers of the fasting, but very nice. Khitamuhu misk.